Today is our fifth follow-up episode with Eileen Noman, so be sure to check back on our previous episodes. A quick way to do this is to go to homeopathyhangout.com, and in the search box, you can just type in Eileen. If you use Spotify, it's also easy to just use the search box in there and type in Eileen. You can also go to my YouTube channel and type in Eileen, and all her four previous episodes will come up. So episode 256, 252, 265, and 267. Now, we have about four or five more of these episodes coming up. I just have to say how incredible this woman is. The recording that you're going to be listening to today was actually the first part of a four-hour recording that we did in one single sitting. So we were recording from about 5 p.m. Eileen's time until 9 p.m., or maybe it was 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. her time. So 4 hours straight, taking into account that, you know, she is 77 years old and her cognitive function is just so on point. And to be lecturing pretty much for 4 hours straight with, we only had like a 2 minute quick toilet break in between. So I just have to share how blown away I am by this incredible woman. So today is just one of the snippets that I took of this 4 hour recording. We're going to be splitting it up so it's a little bit easier to listen to in parts. And we do have some more content coming for you soon. Eileen is a worldwide lecturer and pioneer on a broad range of topics, including homeopathy, medical astrology, metaphysics, and shamanism. And you can find the book she's written on all of these topics by visiting amazon.com and searching for Eileen Noman. She is also a New York Times bestselling author under the pen name Lindsay McKenna, having written more than 225 novels, translated into 33 languages, and selling over 23 million copies worldwide. You can learn more about Eileen at www.walkingtheland.net. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe to Eileen's newsletter, where she'll be sharing loads of great information in the coming months. Eileen is on a mission to help raise our collective consciousness by teaching all of us some of the healing tools she's learned over many decades. She is doing this free of charge through her YouTube channel, which she is just starting up, so be sure to subscribe at youtube.com/@EileenNoman2329. Eileen has also agreed to make many of her amazing resources available free of charge through my website while she's getting her own site and YouTube channel set up. So you can check out eugeniekruger.com/Eileen to download many of the resources she has gifted. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share it with your family and friends. We're in a time right now, more than ever, where deep healing is needed. And part of that healing includes learning more about our energy body. So I am very grateful to Eileen for taking so much of her time to share her wisdom with us all. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hi, homies, and welcome back to Homeopathy Hangout, where we get to hang out with the lovely Eileen Noman again today. Thank you so much for coming back, Eileen. You're not bored of me yet.
No. And as a matter of fact, I want you to definitely ask some questions as we get into this, because we're going to be getting into homeopathy with the chakras. And everything that I have been talking about in the last three lessons is building a foundation so that we can jump off of it and start finally looking at how homeopathy intersects the unseen energies and how you can find out, rather than wondering, I gave them a well-prescribed remedy and then a week it stopped working. Why was that? I have the answer for you.
That is cool. I can't wait. Well, for anybody listening on via audio, I'm sure that will be still fine as well. But do also check out Rumble and YouTube as well. And Eileen will have this on her own YouTube channel as well. So make sure you go check out. If you just type in Eileen Noman, N-A-U-M-A-N, in YouTube, her channel does come up. But otherwise, it's at Eileen Noman 2329, I think. But you'll find her on there, and it'll be in the show notes. Alrighty, the floor is yours, Eileen. Go for it.
Okay, so I decided to name lesson four, which is your lesson five, what are chakras? I know we've been talking about chakras. And then I thought, well, I should put homeopathy in there. And oh, yeah, I should put in pendulum. And then I was thinking, well, anybody that saw homeopathy but then saw pendulums wouldn't want to listen to it. And anybody that loved pendulums but didn't know about homeopathy may not like it. So I just said, what are chakras? You know, trying to play to everybody as to why this is so important. And I chose this particular graphic to sort of image what a chakra looks like. It doesn't look exactly like this, but what you can imagine is that it's sort of like a cup, and it's got a funnel in the center of it, and what is being drawn in is the prana or the food or the mana, depending upon your religious preferences and whatever your beliefs are. It's pulled in through the crown chakra, and this is what it looks like. It's just as the chakra is spinning, it's literally like a vortex pulling the energy and pulling the food, which nobody can see unless you're clairvoyant, into the actual funnel of the chakra. And so I thought this was a very, very good one because each chakra has a different color, and this one had rainbow color. So I thought that was sort of nice to begin with here. Okay, so we get to have some fun. And I says, what does your invisible anatomy look like? Well, there's a story behind this. My husband, Dave, is a civil engineer. And I told him, I said, I looked everywhere on all of the stock graphics websites to try and find a chakra system. They do not exist, at least how I wanted to present it. So I thought, well, I'm going to go make one. So this is my homemade idea. And I wanted to show kind of what it looks like and front and back. And so if we go to the top, you'll see a yellow arrow pointing down. That is the crown chakra, and I have crown chakra written next to it, okay? That is the number 7, and we're going to talk about the cathartic template, which is part of the crown chakra and the auric field. It's the reason why we're alive. If we didn't have this in the invisible part of our energy system, we as humans would not survive. We would die. It's that simple, and this is why it's so important. But all of the food, which is, they call it prana, that's a Hindu word, or you can think about it as mana from heaven, but the universe feeds everything. And what they get fed is this prana. It's invisible, but it is energy, and it has a specific goal. As the chakra is getting spun around, okay, because it has several vortices within it, it's pulling it in, and this little vertical large plastic tube is supposed to be the spinal column. So that the crown is up at the top, that's your head, the crown chakra is at the top of your head. Down in back, in your tailbone, is the root chakra, which is red, and I happened to find a red funnel. I was so thrilled about that. They only make funnels in white and black and red, and that's it. So I couldn't paint them, but that didn't matter because my little arrows show you which chakra is which. But anyway, what I want everybody to understand is you're getting food for all of the chakras and all of the template that is a direct copy of our inner part of our physical body, only it's in 4D. Everything is the same, but it gets fed differently. And what it gets fed from the unseen, the 50% that nobody really thinks about or knows about, is that prana that's coming in, that food is coming in 24/7, 365, and it's feeding the chakras so that they can spin. They're sort of like target glands, like the pituitary gland is your master gland in your head. And then you have all these other endocrine glands, they call them target glands. This is getting into some medical ease here. And so I wanted to show the entire thing. There are actually more chakras than what I'm showing here. It's just that I ran out of room and then I couldn't get it squished down enough so that people could kind of look at it and go, oh, what's this? You know, I'm sure some guy out there, some Aussie guy is thinking, hey, these would make really good oil funnels for my car. You know, I can absolutely change my oil.
Or beer funnels if you're a student.
Oh, really? Okay.
Apparently, I've never done it. I have only heard.
Okay. Well, that's good too. Anyway, funnels have lots of uses, and now I'm using them in a metaphysical sense. So who am I to make fun of anybody else? But anyway, with your root chakra, the red chakra, it's important that everyone understand that if that chakra is spinning like it's supposed to, and I said this last week, that it, from the equator northward, okay, the northern hemisphere, the chakras spin clockwise. And if you live below the equator, then you're in the southern hemisphere, they automatically spin counterclockwise, which makes all kinds of sense to me because it's about the balance. I mean, if you had everybody's chakras spinning one way, you would be out of balance. And so I just think that this is a wonderful way of looking at it. But everybody, regardless of whether you're in the southern hemisphere or the northern, the root chakra brings up, if it's allowed, okay, the first thing that allows Mother Earth's energy to come up that funnel, which is spinning and wanting the earth energy to come up, is flowing into to that funnel, to that root chakra, and then is spreading out and it's feeding all of the other target chakras, if you will. And then it goes ahead and it meets the prana from the crown chakra coming down. And so you have a gold stream of energy, which is the pranic chakra, the prana from the crown chakra going down into us. And from the earth, you have the silver energy, which is moving up. And so you have the gold of the sun and the silver of the moon. So you have the masculine and the feminine. Everything is in balance, okay? Everything. So in order for people to get Mother Earth's root chakra energy, okay, which is always healing because she loves us because we're her children, her sons and daughters, we have to be grounded. And this is why I've been such a stickler, and I've repeated it so many times, this is a grounding technique that I gave you for your astral body. I'm going to give you a different one for those people who have settled their astral back into their body and are staying. There is a second grounding technique that we use that is far less, it only takes about maybe 30 seconds at the most to visualize and get it done, and you're ready to go. But you're still grounded. Because your astral body is staying in now, we don't have to worry about that. There's some that are still working with it, and that's fine. Some people were, I had one woman work 7 years before she got hers in. So, that was really out of, look for what was out of place that was. But she kept at it because she knew, she understood the gifts we get when we're grounded. We can manifest our dreams. We can manifest what we're going to do. We can actually put it on the ground and it actually works. And, maybe you make a business, you make money, you help people, and it's a win-win for everybody. So the red is the root chakra. The energy goes up. You have the silver, you have the gold. And then the energy is getting fed these other chakras, the sacral chakra, which is right below the abdomen. Your solar plexus chakra, which the center of that is your stomach, your digestive area. Then you have your heart chakra. And then you have your throat chakra right here. It's right down here. It's not up here. It's down here, close to the clavicles. And then you have your brow chakra, which is your third eye right here. And then you have your crown chakra, number 7, that's up on top. And what I wanted to show is from the root chakra, the next chakra up from the root is the sacral or the navel chakra. It's called both. I don't know what they call it in Australia, but it depends upon who you talk to. They'll use one term or the other that means the same thing. So, but it has an orange energy that comes into it. And the solar plexus has a yellow one. The heart has green. And then we get into the throat chakra, it's blue. And then you have a lavender and a purple and sometimes an indigo with the brow chakra. And then you have the white with the gold and silver filaments in it, in your crown chakra. So that's my, I tried to make something that would be plain and simple and very straightforward. And I hope it is. Do let me know.
I saw a great picture of your golden retriever with some of the funnels in its mouth as well.
Yeah, well, I didn't put those in. I didn't think we had time, but oh, she stole one of them. She feared, she looked at the template that we had down on the ground, and that little snot, she figured out how to get that funnel off. She just kind of took it by the top and she just pulled it out this way. She didn't jerk it up like a lot of dogs will do. She didn't. She figured it out. She saw these tubes. She understood how these two side funnels, okay, the target chakras were, how they were put on there. And she wasn't in there when we did this. We did this in a back bedroom and closed the door because we didn't want her in there stealing funnels, because she would have. So I'll send you the pictures and you can do whatever you want with them, and people can have a good laugh. Yes. So anyway, wait, I want that to go back. Okay. So this is what we call the chakra template graphic. And this is the crown chakra. And this is the most important chakra. This graphic is very primitive compared to what it does. The crown chakra auric field is called the cathartic field. Okay. So you're going to hear me switch off between crown chakra, which means I'm talking about this, to the cathartic, which I'm talking about the aura that is the last aura around our little egg-shaped aura around us. And anyway, talked about the funnels and stuff like that. I said, okay, I don't think there's really anything here other than what I just said, so I think we can move on. The next graphic we're looking at is the root chakra, which is a red funnel, and I've already described that and the other chakra. But people can go back and look at these and study them, and I think it brings home the simplicity of it, even though it's a highly, highly complicated and complex energy system. We don't need to know that in order to do what we need to do, thank God. So here's chakra history and a circular motion of the chakra. I said in the Hindu tradition, chakra means wheel of light. I said in today's vernacular, you would think, gee, that looks like a funnel I used when I was baking or cooking. Or, you know, whisking eggs in a bowl. And I said, now add to this metaphysical recipe, the Energy Anatomy 101, and you actually need to visualize in your mind two funnel ends held by a flexible tubing between one another. And so one is in the front of you. It goes through your body and you have a rear one. And what's interesting to me is that everybody always wants to do pendulum work on the front chakras. Well, your front chakras are your desire chakras. And then nobody turns the person over so that they can do the rear ones to see how they're doing too. And it's like, no, you do both. It isn't just, you know, because that's your will. The plan is in back, okay? It's to push you forward. So let's see. All right, so each piece of the tube is connected to the 4D, it's the fourth dimension, spinal column in the cathartic template. And literally, if you saw it, I don't see it all the time. I have to be in the right space, and I guess the moon has to be in the right position. But when I do see it, it's a glittering, beautiful gold color, and it's very thin and very fragile looking. But it moves and it's alive, and you can see the pulsing through the gold lines of wherever they're going. And you know that there is life being brought into it from a mystical or metaphysical standpoint that we can't see, but quantum physicists will be able to see someday, and they'll prove the metaphysicians right on this. That I have no doubt. But basically, they're spinning. And so I have a crown chakra here on the left as a graphic, and the root chakra on my right, which is red. It's pulling in red energy. It's the red energy of Mother Earth. And interestingly enough, you know, I live in a place that has red soil. So, I mean, how appropriate is that? And I think, don't you have red soil also, Eugenia?
We do in some parts here. Yeah, not where I am, but in some parts of Australia and Western Australia.
Right. Yeah. So it doesn't change color. If the soil's brown, it doesn't turn brown. So don't go there with that. It's always red. It's always a red energy. It is a specific frequency and vibration. And that will give you the color of whatever it happens to be. Putting it in practical language here. And I said, the chakras are invisible and they are sucking in via the chakra wheel, the whirling clockwise, and that's the prana that's being pulled in to feed everybody. And I said, the prana is all around us, and that's something, if you don't ever see it, don't worry about it. If you're alive, you know it's working. I said, if you live above the equator, the northern is clockwise, and the southern, it is counterclockwise. Okay, so the seventh crown chakra is this on top, and it sits, by the way, right over the pituitary gland, which is dead center in our brain. It is as protected as it can be by the brain by being in the center of it. That's how important it is. It is the master gland. So that we'll get into a little bit later. Now, I said the foundation is our spinal column, as you see in this graphic, and I put the spinal column in there because it's really important for so many different reasons, both seen and unseen. And that's why you want to turn somebody over and let them lay on their tummy. Or if they can't lay down, you can have them sit down, you know, on a chair so that you can go ahead and just hold your pendulum next to where that chakra is at. I mean, you know, if you do the throat, you know, it's on the other side of your throat. You know, if it's the heart, you know pretty much where the heart is, I hope, or take a good guess. Your pendulum is going to tell you anyway, because it will start moving once it's making connection and contact with that frequency. Okay, so I said, most of this I gave already. Okay, the more important thing here is that the cathartic template is an electromagnetic template, and it is a dead ringer for how we have and what we have in our physical body and the way that it looks, only it's in 4D, so it's going to look differently. And we can tell what's going on by looking at that. I don't know too many people who can see it. I know that my mother never could see it, but she always used her right hand or her left hand, depending upon what was going on, because she was a hands-on healer, to work with the chakras, because the chakras told her everything. Either they're DOA or they're working or they're clogged, or one's working but the other one isn't. And why is that? So there's a lot of detail in this, and I don't want to get too deeply into that, just to give you an idea. Okay, I think that's good enough. Most people that are down here on this earth are working under the three base chakras. The three base chakras is the root chakra, the sacral navel chakra, and the solar plexus chakra. And that's, to me, the most arduous part of the journeys of incarnations is learning those three. After that, if you climb into your heart, that's where everything changes, and changes for the better, because you start bringing in the spiritual, you start being compassionate, you start feeling your emotions far better. You can have maturity if that's where you're going to go in a particular lifetime or not. There's a lot of good things about finally making it to your heart chakra as a soul that has to go through this school. Okay, so let's talk about the cathartic template system. I said each set of chakras has an endocrine gland. Now, an endocrine gland, I don't want to get too medical here, but each gland creates certain hormones that the body needs. And hormones are huge, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, everything's important in the body, but the hormones actually regulate us a lot more than you would ever realize. And part of that is because the chakras are all built into the different endocrine glands and they work together. So I said each chakra has its own vibrational frequency. And I said, for example, red energy vibration is sent to the root chakra, which sits in our tailbone area of our spinal column. And each successive chakra has a frequency that's different than the others. All right, because they're all different and they are all working with different endocrine glands and different systems. So of course it would be like that. I mean, when you just stop and think about the beauty of how they've layered this, the metaphysicians, to know these things, they figured it all out. But it was through a lot of work and and making mistakes and realizing that you did and trying to figure out how to fix it. So the color changes and the prana is sucked into these two conjoined chakras. You know, first is like the heart is in the kind of in the center of your body. It's a little to the left of what we call the midline, which is your, you know, if you cut us in half, that's called the midline. So the chakras are the same front and back, only they have different things that they do. Like I said, the ones that are on the front is about our desires. Oh, gee, I'd like to have some, you know, I'd like to have, you know, some ice cream right now. Do you really need ice cream? No, not really, because I'm overweight. Okay. So that's the will heart chakra coming in saying, this is good for you. You shouldn't do it. Okay. We have this back and forth all the time. And usually in three lower chakras, it is the desire chakras that get everybody in trouble. And they're always in trouble. And they're always making huge blunders and mistakes and things like that. And that's what desire will get you. But the will, who knows your template incarnational plan for this lifetime, knows the road. And if you listen to it intuitively, all right, and stick with it, rather than giving in to your desires, you're going to get out of this mess a lot sooner than you will otherwise. But all souls are different and they all have their time. So, all right, so in the root chakra, I say in the male anatomy, there are two testes, or what we call the balls. I'm just going to be really blunt and raw about this. The testes that is in the balls, okay, are the male endocrine hormonal glands. Now, that sits in the root chakra for the man, whereas with the woman, it's up in the sacral chakra, which is from the pubic bone up to just beneath the belly button. But we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to just keep this really plain, and we're going to talk about this stuff so that you get these pictures and you understand. Do not think that the prostate, you always hear everybody say prostate gland. And then you think, oh, it's an endocrine gland too. And it's, no, it's not. It isn't. It doesn't. It has nothing to do with that. No, the only gland, the endocrine gland, okay, for a man is his testes, because they hang down and they hang down in the root chakra area. And so does the prostate gland. But you need to just remember this, because if something's going wrong and you turn the male over or set him up so that you can put your pendulum down by his tailbone, and the root chakra is really weak, then that tells you that the root chakra isn't working correctly. And then you've got to go in and figure out, okay, what is clogging it? Why isn't it working like it should? Because if you can clean that out, and you can, then guess what? The symptoms go away. Now, isn't that nice? Instead of going under the scalpel and knife to, you know, have them go in and cut out some stuff or whatever. No man wants that, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. So that's kind of it in a nutshell here. So if the color is orange, then the prana goes to the two orange chakras, which is the sacral. It includes the abdomen, and just like we talked about. The important thing here for women, okay, or anytime you work with a woman client or patient, is that the woman's reproductive organs, which are her two ovaries, okay, don't confuse that the whole reproductive system is the hormone. It's not. It is the two ovaries, the two little eggs, okay? The guy's got two balls. We got two balls. Ours are footballs, okay? And theirs are round. We got soccer and you have footballs, okay? If you just think of it that way, you will never forget this. So, and besides, am I blushing yet, Eugenia? No,
but I'm loving this. I think it's actually one of the best ways to educate is when you make, like when you include humor in it. So I think it's a great way.
Good. Well, I hope everybody's laughing, but I can tell you every time you talk to a man about his testes, his balls, he automatically just goes like this. He just closes up and he just pulls his legs together and he pulls his cheeks together. And it's like, I'm watching my pendulum go. It was going pretty good. And then it goes, deek, you know, because closed down and shut down, like, don't touch me. And I don't blame them. I mean, the guys, you know, the women aren't as bad. We have our days. I would agree. But anyway, so in going back, the fallopian tubes, okay, is what the ovaries hold the egg, okay, that's going to get fertilized. It goes down the fallopian tube, okay? Then it goes and it goes into the actual uterus and it goes into the wall and it deposits there. The hormones keep it there. So, but the hormones come from the ovaries. So don't ever confuse. This is really important now. No laughing with this. There is such a thing as getting pregnant and the egg is still in the fallopian tube. Okay. I'm going to try and stay away from a lot of medical ease here because we have a varied audience. If you're interested, just look it up. Okay. Egg stuck in fallopian tube. What does that mean? Go to Google and find out. Okay. So that means that the baby, if it's fertilized by the sperm, which comes out of the testes of the man, she's going to have a baby starting to grow in her fallopian tube, which is really, really bad. And that can cause death in a very quick way for not only the mother, but the fetus also. So it's simply a tube that is just a runway. Pretend it's a plane taking off, okay? And it's zooming down the fallopian tube to jump into the uterus and make a little nest there and hope that, you know, everything's being what it is. If everybody's in agreement that they want a family, then that's a good time, you know, to try and do it, but not right away for some reason that I'm not going to get into them. But it's important that if you have to understand that the ovaries are, if your tummy button is right down your midline, which it is, okay, then I want women just to kind of go about 3 to 4 inches either side, and that's where their ovaries are at. They're away from things, all right? And that your uterus is right on the midline, right there and right with the vagina and everything. It's a straight drop, okay, because they're connected to one another. The vagina is like a hose, all right? You just twist it on and it holds on to the uterus and there you have it, okay? The thing is that the vagina is part of the root chakra system, okay? Because of where it is located. And this is a finite thing, but it's an important thing. The rest from the opening to the uterus upward, including the ovaries and the fallopian tube, is all part of the sacral chakra. So really keep that in mind, that the vagina is in the root, okay? And if you don't believe me, you can take your pendulum, and Eugenie and I are going to show you some fun things with pendulums and how we can use them in our homeopathic work for our clients and patients to figure out what's going on. Because what you can't see doesn't mean it isn't there and it isn't acting up, because it is. And even if there's no symptoms yet, because you will get symptoms if a chakra gets clogged with etheric, what we call etheric debris. And I'll get more into that later. Okay, so here's the male and female systems in our body. And this isn't exactly perfect because I wanted something that would show the pineal gland in the head and the pituitary gland. I don't want you to look at the hypothalamus. Just take that out of your mind, okay? We're doing basics today. These are foundational things that are important. In the head, you have two different endocrine glands. One is the pineal gland, which is your third eye. It's your brow chakra. And it's forward of where the master gland is at. Both of these are posited in the very center of the brain and are the most protected endocrine glands in our body, and for good reasons, okay? The master gland has many different hormones that it works with, and it also is, I call the master gland the puppet master. Do you like that, Eugenie, puppet master? Because It is the master gland who sends a message to a target gland, and it tells it how much hormone to dispense and when to turn it off and when to turn it on. Okay? Simple. That's what the master gland does. And that's why I call it the puppet master, because the puppets are down below. The master is sitting there going like this, telling different glands to turn on or off at a certain time. And everything being equal, if it's working well, then that's great. But if it isn't, all hell's breaking loose. I can guarantee you that. One hormone, one endocrine gland, it just messes up a person's life really, really badly. And I mean bad. So we want to pay a lot of attention to this, because the other reason is that the chakras are getting their prana to feed. And here's the magic about this. This is pure magic. I have no explanation for it medically or, you know, in any way, but the actual prana, when it comes down into the physical endocrine gland, transmutes the prana from a 4D food into a 3D food for that gland. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. This is what I call a transmutation. This is taking something that was this, that is now this. And there was some kind of magic and things going on that even today, as far as I know, somebody can correct me on this if I'm wrong, they do not know about this transmutation. Now, they're doing it all the time in quantum physics on different things, but not our endocrine glands. One of these days, probably when I'm long gone, they're going to have instruments that you can actually see the transmutation of energy, the energy coming down in frequency and to the point where it's vibrationally low enough to turn into a physical food for the endocrine gland itself, because it needs certain things to make those hormones. Yes, I know there's a lot of chemistry here. I'm not getting into it. I'm just telling you what else is going on so that you're aware of it. And it has a lot to play with if you have an endocrine system problem. So the next one I want to look at here, we have the brow, which is the pineal. We have the crown chakra. And by the way, there's a lot of people, and I'm going against the entire tide of them through experience and through seeing it clairvoyantly, is that the master gland is connected with the crown chakra. It is not connected to the brow chakra. There's too many people going around saying that the brow chakra takes care of both the pineal gland and the pituitary gland. That just can't be, all right? Just from a logical common sense standpoint, because it is a crown chakra that has multiple duties. And it is responsible for the entire template of our cathartic auric field that is feeding these chakras, to feed these endocrine glands, to keep our physical bodies alive and in harmony. And it makes no sense to me to say that the brow chakra is ruler over the pineal gland and the master gland. They're in error. They're wrong. And one of these days, I'll be proven on that. But going forward, since you're listening to this, and what I want you to try is that just go and put your chakra, okay, is right back. Your crown chakra is right here, all right? The pineal gland is right here, all right? And so is the pituitary gland. Do me a favor and just try putting your pendulum here for your brow chakra, which is your pineal, and take the same pendulum and ask, show me the master gland where it's at. And it's going to show that it is up here rather than back there. It'll start spinning. And it's something that has to be changed. It will over time. But I've seen too many times where I've had a client who's had a pituitary gland issue that also involved the crown chakra totally, but didn't involve the brow chakra at all. And you have to ask yourself why. You know, if the brow actually has a receivership over both of those glands, then why isn't it too acting up? Doesn't make sense. But you can only figure these things out if first of all, you got to know some anatomy, but you also have to know how to use a pendulum and ask the right questions too. And you have to know, what is that pendulum doing the way that it's working? You know, what does that mean? So there's a lot to it, but we're just taking the simple roads tonight. All right. So the next one is the thyroid gland. That is your throat chakra gland. And you see that below thyroid is parathyroid. If you notice something, I like the doctrine of signatures in homeopathy because they tell me a lot that isn't ever said or maybe isn't shown in approving or anything like that. But do you notice that on this, you can see that the thyroid gland actually, to me, looks like a butterfly. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So embedded within the butterfly thyroid are four little circles. And there's two circles up above and two circles down below embedded into the thyroid. That is the parathyroid gland. But the parathyroid gland has say-so over our calcium distribution in our body, among other things. It is not an endocrine gland, even though it's living in an endocrine gland. It's not giving out hormones. So forget the parathyroid here. Okay, so the next one is the thymus. Now, the thymus is a really interesting gland. It is basically your heart is a little left of midline, okay? And the windpipe, all right, of which the thyroid gland is also around the windpipe, but so is the thymus, and it's the bronchial tube. And it's sitting basically in the midline center, the thymus is, and a little right. Or left, excuse me, a little right of where the most of the heart is on the left side of you. Okay. So, you know, they're all there. The thymus has a lot of things to do with it. And I'm just going to kind of race through this now because I've got other things that I'm going to talk about with some of these endocrine glands. But the thymus basically is at its largest when the mother still hasn't given birth to the child. And the reason why is that the thymus has everything to do with our immune system and T cells. And that I'll leave it at that. And it makes sense to me that the reason why the thymus is the most active and the largest that it will ever be is just shortly before the birth of the fetus who becomes a baby. And because that baby is coming into a world and needs the protection from all the infectious things, and the thymus is tied into the immune system. So, and I find it interesting that it's right next to the heart. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, as you get older, your thymus kind of shrivels up and dies away. I don't know that that's true. If that was true, my pendulum wouldn't be racing around going like this around it, because that means it's good and alive and that it's not, it's cleaned out and it's working fine. And you can also go in the back and do the same thing. Okay, so the next one is the adrenals. If you look at the two little kidneys here and you see those two little orange things on top, those are the adrenal glands, okay? They are endocrine glands. Between them and in front of them is the pancreas. The pancreas has to do with the insulin and with sugar distribution and other digestive enzymes and hormones that it's going to be putting into the mix. So pancreas, adrenals, thymus, thyroid, pituitary gland, and pineal, we've all covered. We've already talked about the testes and the ovary. So I'm going to move right along here. And I wanted to give you some pictures here so that you got some really good ones. I tried to find a normal prostate. Okay. This is the center picture here. I couldn't. They always wanted to do it with prostate cancer. And if you'll notice, the person that made this graphic couldn't even spell prostate right. It left the E off with the prostate.
I had to laugh. That was the very first thing I saw.
I know. I'm terrible about that too. I'm sorry, but it's like, oh no. Anyway, this is the root chakra, okay, endocrine, and here's what it rules. We've already talked about all of it. And again, what I want to show you here on the graphic on the right of the woman's reproductive system, you will see for sure that the vagina is part and parcel, okay, of the root chakra, and that it is attached to the uterus, and that's where we bring in the sacral. So there's that kind of thing. And of course, you've got the two testes over here on the left, and they look mighty healthy to me. All right, so the sacral chakra, it's an orange color. It's the ovaries, is the endocrine system for the woman, and also it's part of the digestive system. And in the woman and the man, it is the colon, the large intestine, and part of the small intestine is all in the abdominal area for both of them. And in the spinal column, it's the thoracic or the middle of the spine vertebrae that have a rulership with the sacral navel chakra. The solar plexus chakra is a yellow color. Whoop, we're going to go here. It involves the stomach and the duodenum. And as a matter of fact, it's right on the stomach. I mean, this chakra is straight through the stomach area here. And one of the important things, well, there's several important things about the solar plexus. First of all, it's dealing with our digestion, but there's a lot of other things going on at the same time in the same area. And the digestive system pulls in the pancreas, which again is about sugar and insulin and the distribution of sugar. But there's also other enzymes and other chemicals that the pancreas puts in into the first probably 12 inches of the intestine. The small intestine is attached to the stomach, and the food comes out of the stomach, and then it lays in this 12 inches of the small intestine. In the meantime, the gallbladder and the pancreas are putting in their juices or their acids or whatever it is that they want to put in at that time to continue to break down the food. And so it's a very important part of it, but it's part of the solar plexus, not the sacral system. And I have a lot of people who don't know anatomy enough to be able to parse that. And so I just want to make a big deal out of it tonight so that you understand that, you know, the stomach's up here and everything is down below the tummy button. That's a long way away. All right. The solar plexus also rules the urinary system. It includes the kidneys, also the adrenal glands, which we've already talked about. The adrenals produce cortisone as well as adrenaline. And the two are very different. I'm not going to get into them tonight. There's no need. Also, the ureter tubes, if you look at this central graphic, you'll see the two little kidneys. And you see these two long tubes that come from the kidneys down to the bladder. They're called the ureter tubes. And then the upside down chakra is actually the bladder, and the urethra is a little pee hole where everybody, you know, gets rid of their urine. On the back, okay, this is really important because more people have more problems in the lumbar area, which is the yellow area of this anatomy on the spine. And I wanted to say something here because I've had problems with it myself. There's nothing like experience to teach you something. I don't know if anybody knows anything about podiatry. We have podiatrists here in the United States. They're medical doctors. They deal with foot, feet issues. Also, they're surgeons on the feet. And I was sick and tired, I think, at about age 70 of always having my hips go out. And your lumbar area is where your hips are at, okay? And so I went to a woman podiatrist up at Flagstaff, Arizona, and she said something. She checked everything out, and she measured my feet and did a bunch of other stuff. And she says, well, you have an eight-degree pronation or something like that. And she just looked at me and she says, if it had been nine, she said, you would have had to wear metal anklets to help keep your feet going straight instead of going like this or like this. Mine were going out like this. I probably looked like a seal with flaps on, okay? And she wanted to get them back looking like this. So I said, okay. I said, what I got to do? And she says, well, we'll have special shoes made for you. And I said, okay, great. And she says, well, no, it's not great. Because she says, you're going to go through 6 months of hell because every bone in your body is going to have to adjust to this different way of having your feet in the pronation that it's supposed to be rather than where it is. And she says, you are really going to be hurting a lot. And I said, okay. And she was right. And it wasn't fun, but you know what? I used to have to go to my chiropractor in Cottonwood, Arizona, where we lived. And I lived there 30 years. So this is big. I had to go almost every week because one of my hips would go out. And when your hip goes out, there's no such thing as being comfortable in any position. It's terrible. And so to stop it, I would always go get the chiropractor to adjust it and put it back before it went as far as I knew it was going to go. And then I'd be in pain on Saturday and Sunday and be miserable for 3 days until I could get to my chiropractor again. Well, the good news was that with getting my feet taken care of and on solid ground of what's normal, it did take 6 months. And I never had so much pain every day as my life, but mostly it hit in my knees. But then once we got it out and we got moved here to Virginia, we got here in April of 2022. And it was like in, I think, August, my hip went out and then it went into muscle spasm and the spasm wouldn't quit. It wouldn't stop. It was like it was pulled over and it was going to stay there the rest of its life. And I had to go in 3 times a week for 4 months to work on that, to get it to release. And it was all about the entire body just making this huge, huge change. So that's my story. And if you're one of those people like me that's having their hips going out all the time, go to a podiatrist, let them check your feet. It's not that expensive and it's painless. That part's painless. That's when they find something wrong, you know, you're going to hell. I felt like I was in hell. The only thing I would take is some aspirin sometimes. And that was it because it was just, I wasn't going to take drugs or, you know, anything like that. I don't believe in it. So that's my little story on that. And let's see, okay, that's all I want to say for tonight on that.
Okay, homies, so the next part of this episode will be released tomorrow, so be sure to check in wherever you listen to this podcast. Thanks for listening.